Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode here on Talking with Cannabis. We're going to go over another Twisted Truths, and today we're going to be looking over The Little Mermaid. And while I'm working on that, I'm going to also be looking for another sponsor. So, if you know anyone, let me know. I need that. But without further ado, we're going to jump into it. Alright, so we're going to go over the little overview for, like, the Disney version of this before we actually get into, like, the nitty-gritty of what's going on. And I do apologize for any wind in the background. I didn't think it was going to be that windy, because it was actually fine until I started actually, like, recording. And then, of course, all this wind came out of nowhere. And here comes a siren. You see how things work like that? I try to just avoid the noise, then it comes. So just give me a minute and let me wait for that to pass. Okay, I don't know where the fuck the siren went. I'm really annoyed with all this extra shit. Like, and here comes the wind. Did you see? Well, you can't see me, but you get what I'm talking about. Like, as soon as I get going with the conversation, here comes all this noise. Like, I swear, it never goes in my favor. And this is exactly why I have been recording, like, at different times of the day and not outside.
Yeah, I just been trying to tell you, record inside. But you like the outside atmosphere and all that junk.
The last, like, 10 episodes have been made inside. So, I have been listening to you.
I just think it's it makes
it was just so quiet outside, literally, earlier.
Look at that big
ass bee. Fuck! Don't come inside!
It can't even fit through that tiny crack.
It went away, though, when I said that.
He's like,
all right. I'm so afraid of bees like that. They're so big.
That was like an African bee.
Yes, and they sting you more than once, and they can kill. And I have a little dog back here, so I'm like, no, bro. You can't come in the house.
How did African bees...
And he can fit through there, actually. He would just fit. Like, just fit. He was trying to come in. He could smell the weed and shit. He's like, I smell flowers, y'all.
I'm gonna check on the rice.
All right.
I wish he had green onions. That would have been a perfect, either sesame seeds or green onions. That would have been perfect.
Well, let me go over this fucking overview. So, it says right here, a rebellious 16-year-old mermaid named Ariel is fascinated with life on land. On one of her visits to the surface, which are forbidden by her controlling father, King Triton, of course. I think it's funny that they picked that name when they could have named him, like, anything else. She falls for a human prince, and then it says, determined to be with her new love, Ariel makes a dangerous deal with the sea witch Ursula to become human for 3 days. But when plans go, wrong for the star-crossed lovers, the king must make the ultimate sacrifice for his daughter. So, if you've seen the actual old original cartoon, then you know how that goes. But it's a very interesting plot, if I'd like to say myself. So, I'm gonna take a break so my co-host can go check on his rice because he's ready to eat. Okay, before I start reading the, original story to The Little Mermaid, I just wanted to put out as a disclaimer that any background noise you hear during certain parts of this episode is because I'm outside in my little outside studio, and if it sounds more quiet, it's probably because I'm in my inside studio. So it just depends on where I am. Right now I'm outside, so I apologize for any unnecessary background noise that I can't really control. And with that, I'm gonna start reading the story. So thank you for that. Oh. Well, yeah, hold on. Give me 1 minute. Alright. Let's pull up The Little Mermaid. Okay. If you hear any extra smoking going on, that's because my co-host is in the studio. He's just not gonna be telling the story, but that's alright. I just asked him to keep me company. So, let's give you guys a rundown of, like, The Little Mermaid from the original story. So, it is actually a Danish literary fairy tale written by the Danish author Hans Christian Andersen. I don't know if that name sounds familiar to you guys or not, but he's written other literary fairy tales, I'm pretty sure. Don't have all the facts on that exactly. Let's see. And, of course, we know that the story is about a young mermaid. But the tale was first published in 1837 as a part of a collection of fairy tales for children. So, he was popular when it came to, like, I guess the fairy tale type thing. But now that we've talked about the little boring snippet, let's actually read the story and see how scary it actually is. Cause I've never actually read the original story. I know. I've never read the original story. I've seen the movie, like the Disney movie, but I've never actually read the original story of The Little Mermaid. So let's go over this while I take this bong hit. If you got anything, smoke along. It says the Little Mermaid lives in an underwater kingdom with her widowed father, the Merking. Her dowager grandmother, I'm not sure if I said that word correctly, and her five older sisters, each of whom had been born 1 year apart. So they had kids close together, didn't they? And also, there's a lot of siblings. Ew, babe, that's so gross.
The mom?
Yeah, that was her getting morning sickness every day.
OMG.
Let's see. So when a mermaid turns 15, she is permitted to swim to the surface for the first time to catch a glimpse of the world above. And when the sisters become old enough, each of them visits the upper world one at a time every 365 days. As each returns, the Little Mermaid listens longingly to their various descriptions of the worlds inhabited by human beings. So, obviously, her interest is piqued. She kind of wants to see what's going on up there, right? See what we're doing, us humans are doing. And, of course, back in those days, they probably weren't doing much, right? Maybe they went to the beach every once in a while, right? And those, like, long bathing suit things. What was the, maybe they, like, sat on a rowboat or something, or painted. I'm not really sure what they actually did for fun back in those days. Like, what was this, 1845, right? Something like that?
Damn.
Yeah. 1800s.
Ooh. So, like, what else? That was a big one.
My lungs aren't what they used to be when I first started the show. I can't do it.
That was pretty cool, though.
That's what it was. Yeah. Okay. I'm gonna hold this so I can, like, sit up a bit better or bring it closer to me. Let's see. When the Little Mermaid's turn comes, she rises up to the surface, watches a birthday celebration being held on a ship in honor of a handsome prince, and falls in love with him from a safe distance. So, that sounds like typical, like, young teenager behavior. You know, you have, like, this crush developed from afar. You don't even really know the person, but you have that crush anyway, you know? Maybe if it was an evil crush. But yeah. She's falling in love. So far, I guess the story's not that dark. Let's see. Then a violent storm hits, sinking the ship. Do we have anything for that? A storm. A violent storm hit. There you go.
Go ahead, keep telling the story.
Sinking the ship, and the Little Mermaid saves the princess. The princess. She's a lesbian now. I meant the prince. Oh, that made me laugh. From drowning. And she delivers him unconscious to the shore. Ooh, okay, the storm's over. Near a temple.
Well, you didn't say it was gonna stop.
It's over now. And here, the Little Mermaid waits until a young woman from the temple and her ladies-in-waiting find him. So she basically made sure that someone found him and didn't leave him, like, for dead or anything on the beach. So not only did she rescue him, but she waited. So she's like, this crush is serious. Like, she's got feelings for this dude, you know? And to her dismay, the prince never sees the Little Mermaid, or even realizes that it was she who had originally saved his life. So she's, you know, she's a little butthurt that she didn't get her acknowledgement. Oh. I don't like how realistic that'd be sounding, man. Anyways, it says the Little Mermaid becomes melancholy and asks her grandmother if humans can live forever. The grandmother explains that humans have a much shorter lifespan than a mermaid's 300 years, but that they have an eternal soul that lives on in heaven. While mermaids turn to sea foam at death and cease to exist. So they get 300 years and then that's it. And she's at 16 right now. Whew. Alright. The Little Mermaid, longing for the prince and an eternal soul, visits the sea witch, who lives in a dangerous part of the ocean. The witch willingly helps her by selling her a potion that gives her legs in exchange for her beautiful voice. As the Little Mermaid has the most enchanting voice in the entire world, the witch warns the Little Mermaid that once she becomes a human, she will never be able to return to the sea. Consuming the potion will make her feel as if a sword is being passed through her body. Yet when she recovers, she will have two human legs and will be able to dance like no human has ever danced before. I don't know why the dancing is so important, but yeah. However, she will constantly feel as if she is walking on sharp knives. In addition, she will obtain a soul only if she wins the love of the prince and marries him, for then a part of his soul will flow into her.
WTF!
Right. Otherwise, at dawn, on the first day after he marries someone else, the Little Mermaid will die with a broken heart and dissolve into sea foam upon the waves. Dark as fuck. After she agrees to the arrangement, the Little Mermaid swims up to the surface near the prince's castle and drinks the potion. The liquid feels like a sword piercing through her body, and she passes out on the shore naked. I don't know why the naked part is important, but they put that in there. She is found by the prince, of course, who is mesmerized by her beauty and grace, even though she is mute. Most of all, he likes to see her dance, and she dances for him despite suffering excruciating pain with every step. Like, why would you even put yourself through that? Anyways, I'm gonna take a quick little break, and, you know, then we'll head back to the story. Ooh. Okay. My co-host has been pressing random buttons. during my break. But now we're back. Can you pack me a bong hit, sir, while I continue this little section of the story? Soon the little mermaid becomes the prince's favorite companion and accompanies him on many of his outings, but he does not fall in love with her at all. Damn, that's straight up forward, like, you know, but it's fucked up. And she's gone through a lot for this man.
Doesn't look good.
Right, like physical pain. That's terrible. And then it says right here, when the prince's parents encourage their son to marry the neighboring princess in an arranged marriage, of course that's how it was back then, the prince tells the little mermaid he will not because he does not love the princess.
Whoa.
So it's like gaslighting, I guess. Like, he isn't in love with the mermaid, but he's not in love with, like, this arranged marriage princess either.
Real bad.
So he's just like a fuckboy from like the 1800s.
Get wrecked.
And let's see, what else does it say about this? And then it says, he goes on to say he can only love the young woman from the temple, whom he believes rescued him. So the lady that found him, with, like, the other ladies in waiting or whatever the fuck.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, obviously, he just... Damn. He thinks it's her, though. So, like, he's in love with her because she, supposedly saved his life, right?
Mm-hmm.
It would make sense. Of course, that breaks her heart, I'm sure. Sorry about that. It turns out that the princess from the neighboring kingdom was the temple woman. Oh, okay. As she was sent to the temple for her education, the prince declares his love for her, and the royal wedding is announced at once. So basically, the little mermaid's heart has just been completely ripped to shreds. Like, completely. That's gotta be tough, sister. That's gotta be tough, you know. I mean, that's tough shit, right?
Yeah, it just sounds like it was a setup for failure.
Yeah. I'm gonna read, like, two more sentences here, and then we'll take a break. The prince and the princess celebrate their new marriage aboard a wedding ship. Of course, there's a wedding ship. And the little mermaid's heart breaks. Aww.
Loser.
Damn.
OMG.
It says she thinks of all that she has sacrificed and all of the pain she has endured for the prince. Of course. She despairs. She despairs thinking of the death that awaits her, but before dawn, her sisters rise out of the water and bring her a dagger that the sea witch has given them in exchange for their long, beautiful hair. What in the actual fuck? This witch has just been, like, going at it.
Awkward.
Actually, the story's almost done here. Should I just keep going?
Yeah.
Okay. If the little mermaid kills the prince and lets his blood drip on her feet, she will become a mermaid once more. All her suffering will end, and she will live out her full life in the ocean with her family. This seems like a pretty fair deal, considering, like, you know.
He doesn't love you.
Yeah, and she's just already been through so much. It's like, yeah, why not, right? However, the little mermaid cannot bring herself to kill the sleeping prince. I am so sorry about that, but it sounds like they're passing, so I'm just gonna let them finish. They're going. Okay, they're far away now. Yeah, did I mention that we're close to a firehouse, you know, a fire station? Let me go back to where that was. Okay, so however, she cannot bring herself to kill the sleeping prince lying with his new wife, and she throws the dagger on herself off the ship into the water just as dawn breaks. Her body dissolves into foam, but instead of ceasing to exist, she feels the warm sun and discovers that she has turned into a luminous and ethereal earthbound spirit, a daughter of the air. So, you know, she's like an air goddess now, you know? Kind of a cool upgrade, but the death is kind of sad.
Wow.
Suicide is just not the way to go. But she didn't have a lot of options there, you know? The sea witch set her up. Either way, she was going to die a very painful death, so I think she just kind of took the easy way route. You know, the easy route. Didn't seem like much work.
Cop out.
Well, you know.
Oh, this is the dagger spell. So that's what she did.
Yeah. There you go.
That was like a rewind of what happened.
Right.
You know, when her body came out, it was all like...
Yeah. As the little mermaid ascends into the atmosphere, she is greeted by other daughters who tell her she has become like them because she strove with all her heart to obtain an immortal soul. Wow. That's some deep shit, huh? The Disney one isn't that deep. Like, it's not... They cut out so much to make that movie, because, like, man, this is deep stuff. And then it says, because of her selflessness, she is given the chance to earn her own soul by doing good deeds for mankind for 300 years. So, basically, she gets to live up the life, the mermaid life that she had before those 300 years, you know? And will one day rise up into heaven. Oh, she has a little spot in heaven for herself. It's kind of a sweet little ending. But that is the ending. So, I hope you enjoyed that kind of sad, kind of fixed happy ending, kind of like dark, twisted fairy tale that was. Right? What'd you think of it?
It was better than a movie.
I kind of agree. More sad, but I enjoyed it. So, let's see. I guess I'll just take this hit with you guys, and then we'll take a break and I'ma go. Okay. So yeah, grab something and take a puff. All right. Peace out, y'all.